You guys ready? Let's get into the Word tonight. Matthew chapter 8. Open your Bibles there, please. Matthew chapter 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. You know, I just really enjoy getting into the Word. And I will say this, that too much of the time, people aren't getting into the Word like they should. Need to get into the Word. It's good to get into the Word. You can't grow if you don't take the Word into your life. This is not just a bunch of history things, stories and accounts that we look at in history of the church. Yeah, that's there. But when you hear the Word, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Don't ever make the mistake of praying for faith. God does not honor that. The Bible never says that faith comes by you praying. You know that. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, verse 17 again, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we've been laying foundations out of the Word and here right in various places in the Scriptures. We're only like 4 weeks into this series, and this one's going to go for a while. But we've been looking at the different incidents of Christ healing different individuals. And on many occasions, Jesus would speak to the sickness. He might, on another occasion, speak to the spirit that was afflicting the person, the demon. On other occasions, he just spoke directly to the person, himself or herself. And there were different ways, sometimes laying on of hands, sometimes not. He stood in front of Lazarus's tomb and called him forth. You remember that. So we are going to go into more of those accounts as we go. But one thing I want you to realize and recognize that in none of these accounts do you find Christ saying that he wouldn't heal or that it wasn't the will of God to heal. You do not find that. It is very clear in the Bible that it is God's will to heal. Now, people have questions. Why isn't everybody healed? And if it really was God's will, here's the argument I've heard. If it really was God's will to heal everybody, everybody would be healed. Well, let's just turn that kind of onto the subject of salvation. And you could say, if it was God's will to save everybody, everybody would be saved. Right? What does the Bible say about that? It says very plainly that God wills above all that men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's there. So what's the problem with healing? People have not looked at the Scriptures. You don't find a place where God says, Christ said, no, not today. You need to suffer a little while here. You need to put up with this for another month or two, and then we'll take a look at it in the future to see if God wants to heal you or not. No, you never find that. And so the Word is very, very plain about it. I think the big misunderstanding has been from the Old Testament, where it says God put this sickness on people. Remember that? And remember, anytime that you read that, in the Old Testament, it was originally communicated in Hebrew, of course, but in the permissive tense. In other words, God would permit this to come upon a person. And you always link it back to they went a-whoring after idols. They did this. They did that. They got into this. They got into that. They mumbled and murmured and complained and turned their back on God. And suddenly sickness and disease is coming upon him. And the translators translated the permissive Hebrew into English and put it into a causative tense and made it sound like God was doing it when all along he actually was allowing it because of the sin and the way that they turned their back on him. You remember the illustration that we've done in times past where I've held an umbrella? And, you know, you get underneath an umbrella. If it's raining outside, what do? You hold the umbrella over your head, right? I mean, that's not too tough to realize. But a lot of times people wonder why they get wet if they pull the umbrella over here and are talking. I was at the gate one day, and I had to lock the gate, you know. Maybe we ought to believe God for a powered gate, huh? Especially in the rain. It's out there, and it's raining like cats and dogs, you know, and I'm like, I'm waiting, but I have an appointment I've got to get to, and I'm like, I got to go out there, and it's coming down in buckets. I mean, the concrete is looking like, I mean, the water's hitting it so hard it's bouncing up, you know, and that's how I get out there, and I've got this umbrella. I've got a big umbrella, good umbrella. I'm holding it, and I'm trying to hold it here and work the lock and the hasp and all that, and it slipped. And I'm like, I'm wet now. So I'm just, people are going by the umbrellas over here. Well, that's a good illustration. If the umbrella's not over the top, you're going to get wet. Amen? So when Israel stepped out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection, they got wet. In other words, they stepped away from him. They went and chased after different gods, the scripture indicates, got into sins of various type. And when they did that, it was not good for them. He said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, he tells them what to choose. It's a simple thing. He says, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. But a lot of them chose to go the way of the flesh and chose the sin. So that's not a good move ever. But when we look at Christ, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. And I love what the word says. It says in Malachi chapter 3, what, round about verse 6, that I am the Lord thy God and I change not, right? Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. But then you go into the New Testament and you look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is, finish it for me, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, excuse me, if I go into the Word and I look and see what Jesus did, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was God in the flesh, deity in the flesh, sent to redeem mankind, Yeshuat Elohim, God in the flesh as Savior, who came to save mankind. And so he is God, he's deity, of course he is. That's what separates Christian churches from cults. The cults don't believe in the deity of Christ. But anyway, so he's God in the flesh, sent to redeem mankind, and he doesn't change. In fact, Christ took it a step further, and he said, the works that I do shall ye do also in John 14, verse 12. People have said, no, I can't, that was Jesus. Exactly, but he gave you his name, his spirit, his word. We're clothed in the armor of light. We're to operate as his ambassadors here in this earth. And don't bat an eyelash. The devil has to bow his knee to the name of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? It's true. Now, you know, I've had folks come to me and say, well, but you know, those miracles, the miracles don't happen. Oh, well, I beg to differ. And if you've been here for any period of time, you know that miracles happen. We had a woman get healed two weeks ago, couldn't move her fingers, and by the end of the service, her fingers were totally healed. Now, that just happened 2 weeks ago. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we lay hands on folks, sometimes we don't. It just, you know, it happens various ways. But in Matthew chapter 8, I want to take a look at this account of when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. It was Peter's wife's mother. Look at verse number 14. It reads this way. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. That's it's a neat account. He reaches out, touches her hand. You're going to find another account said he reached out, grabbed her hand, and lifted her up. Well, you can't touch her hand. Or let me say it this way. You can't reach out and grab her and lift her up without touching her hand, right? Someone said, well, there's a contradiction in Scripture. It said that he lifted her up. Well, he touched her hand, and when he did, he lifted her up, okay? Let's read the next account. It's in Mark chapter 1, so just go to the right a few chapters and to the Gospel of Mark. And Mark chapter 1, beginning there in verse 29, it reads this way, and forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, see this, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now, I like how when you read one account, you read the next account, one of the writers included some detail that the other one didn't. We're going to read a third account that includes a little bit more detail yet. This is the portion of Scripture, the time when I was raised Catholic. Some of you guys wouldn't know that, but I was Catholic and got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit They're in a Catholic charismatic prayer group up in Wisconsin. And I remember seeing this in the Word that Jesus healed Peter's wife's mother. And from little on, you're taught apostolic succession in the Catholic Church. The first pope was Peter, and the next one after that, and after that, and after that, until the modern-day pope that we have here for the Catholic Church today. And one of the things about those guys is they can never marry. You know, they're supposed to remain celibate, and they don't marry, and you know they've had a lot of trouble in the Catholic Church with that in particular, and the results that follow a man that wants to be married and cannot. Now, so I asked a priest one day, I said, how come you can't be married? Because your first pope was married. And I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. I really wasn't. It was just I was really young in the Lord, but I saw that. And I said, I know based on my CCD, my catechism classes, that's what the religious classes in the Catholic Church are called. And I said, based on that, I know that Peter was the first pope. And he said, yes, absolutely. And I said, did you know Peter had a wife? No. No, he didn't. I said, yes, he did. I said, it's in the Bible. Show me. So I showed him. And I said, I saw this. And this priest was a really nice man. He really was. And I showed it to him, and he said, oh, my goodness, I have never seen that. They never told us anything about it. I'm like, don't you read your Bible? This is what I was thinking, you know. But anyway, so probably a year later, he ended up leaving the priesthood and wanted to be married and ended up getting married and having a family. And, you know, is there anything wrong with that? If a person wants to not be married and stay that way, you know, that needs to be their choice, not something somebody puts on you as a requirement for you to serve God. If that's not something, if you're not called to be a eunuch and you don't have that in your heart to go that way, you'll never make it. Anyway, Peter's wife's mother, I love that. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4, and this is the third account and in the Synoptic Gospels, Luke chapter 4. Synoptics are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 38. This is, again, the third account that we have of this same, or third recording of the same account. Verse 38, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. One version reads, forget which one it was, it reads that it was a burning fever. It was more than just a little fever. It was a very high temperature, and she was probably, most scholars agree, delirious, maybe close to comatose. I mean, she had had this for a while. It had been going on. It was a bad deal. And so, of course, when Jesus got there, it says, Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. So immediately they said, hey, you're here. Would you come and minister to my mother-in-law? Maybe he named her, I don't know, but Peter certainly knew his mother-in-law's name. He went right away to minister to her. Notice he didn't say, no, it's not my will for her to be whole. It's not my will for her to be healed. It's not my will. It's not my will. No, you always hear Jesus saying, I am willing, or I will. I can find, and we've looked at some already, but accounts in the Word where Jesus let his will be known. God in the flesh, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed then, he'll heal today. What did he do? He stood over her in verse 39, and here this account says that he rebuked the fever. You see that? He rebuked the fever. In other words, he spoke to the fever. Hey, can fevers hear? Read the next portion of the verse. And it left her. Well, I guess it did. Do you realize fevers listen? Fevers hear? Somebody's like, that is wacko. No, it's Bible. The fever actually heard the words of Jesus. So I say, well, they don't really hear. There are things in the Word of God that hear that you may not understand or know that the Word speaks of it. Remember when Jesus spoke to the fig tree in Mark chapter 11? Cursed it at the root. What happened to that tree? It withered up from the roots because Peter calling to remembrance the next day when they went by. See, it happened when they were going into town. Jesus went up and looked underneath the leaves if haply he might find fruit. And he lifted up the leaf and looked underneath and there was no fruit. At that time, when the leaves were the way they were, there should have been that display of the way the leaves looked at that time. There should have been fruit underneath those leaves. And so he cursed the tree. And unless you feel sorry for the fig tree, it was a symbolic thing. What he was saying was those that have the outward display that they have fruit in their lives, and upon closer inspection, you lift up the veil and you look and there's no fruit at all. Jesus talked about that. The Pharisees fell into that category. They were those whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. You remember that? He was saying, you're cursed. You've got this outward display. If you're like this fig tree, you're cursed. You're cursed. If you have a display, but underneath there's actually no fruit. Well, anyway, he cursed it going into town. They walked out. It was late. It probably was already dark when they went by, but in the morning when they came back into town and walked by, Peter's looking. If you were there and you saw or heard Jesus curse a fig tree, you know, whatever kind of tree it was, that one was a fig tree, but you heard it, you're going to go, okay, when we go by there again, when I can see, I'm going to look. Would you look? I would. And Peter, of course, looks, and he calls to remembrance what it, and the thing was withered from the roots up. Within 24 hours, perhaps less, that tree is withered from the roots up. Oh, my. Did that tree hear? Well, the tree doesn't have ears. Well, the tree responded to the words. So I would submit to you that the tree heard it. Not with ears like you think of. You know, animals hear. Well, yeah, Pastor Dan, they have ears. Well, Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, and they marveled in Mark chapter 1 that even the wind and the waves obeyed him, like, what, verse 41, I think it was, at the end of that chapter. Mark chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 41. And so he'd speak to the wind, to the waves. He'd speak to evil spirits, and they would leave. I will tell you something, that when Jesus spoke to this fever, that fever heard him. And that fever responded to the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. Now, don't take it in the way like a fever has two ears on the side of it. That's not what I'm saying. The fever responded to the Word, okay? The wind and the sea responded to the Word. Yeah, but Pastor, I can't hear that. I can't hear when the Lord tells me to do it. Have you ever had the Lord tell you to do something and you knew it was the Lord saying it? Did the people around you necessarily hear it? There have been times we've been sitting in services. I've been, and the Lord will tell me something. Maybe I wasn't even preaching and the Lord will say something to me off of whatever the minister was speaking and I got a revelation from it. And the person over here, they didn't act excited. I mean, I got excited because I heard something from the Lord. Hey, we don't always hear what somebody else might hear, right? Let me prove that to you. Illustrated. Here we go. All right. So let me just make sure this is on. Okay. Now, and we'll just do it for a point. Who can hear? Well, you can't hear that. It's too low. Okay. You hear that? Okay. 300 hertz. Let's put it at, everybody should be able to hear these, 3,000 hertz. Right in my ear. Smart guy. I should use the handheld mic, but we'll weather this, okay? So y'all heard that, right? It's going to get worse. Maybe turn it down a little. Okay. Okay. How about Tell me if you can hear this. Who heard it? Did you hear it? Okay. Now, what I want you to do is I'm gonna up it, okay? And as we go, not volume-wise, but as in pitch. And as we go, I want you to close your eyes and raise your hand if you can hear it. Now, listen to me. Don't make something up because I might fake you out and not actually push the button. Because as you get higher, you're not going to be able to hear all of these. Okay, so here we go. Okay, you hear that? Again, raise your hand if you hear it. Oh, gee. Okay, some of you couldn't hear it. Trust me. I pushed the button. Okay. It's a dog whistle. That's exactly what it is. You're a sharp guy, Larry. Watch it now. Yeah. Oh, Larry, I love you, man. You're all right. Okay, let's bump this up to 10. Now get ready. If you close your eyes, tell me if you can hear it. You hear it? Yeah, I pushed it. That was 10,000 hertz. Now, some of you aren't hearing that, right? And don't tell me you didn't hear it at 5 but heard it at 10. That isn't going to wash. I think, let's see, where's my threshold? I think my threshold, all right, here we go. Oh, Jesse, I saw you cringe. Yeah, anybody not hear that? You didn't hear it? Okay, that's 11,300 hertz. I think my threshold is 11,400. Yeah, see, you heard that really well. I heard the hum, but I didn't hear the pitch. Now let's pump it up to 17,000. Now close your eyes. All right, look down. Get ready. Here we go. Anybody hear it? Here's the ad because I don't have the pay app. At Petland, we care about... Yeah, okay, let's get rid of that. Okay, I knew that was going to... I'm not buying this thing, you know. Okay, who can hear the 17? Anybody? Let me do like this. At the house, you heard it, yeah, okay. Anybody, you hear it? Okay, yeah, because... All right, but trust me, 17,000 hertz. In fact, it can go all the way up to 35,000 hertz. A dog could hear that. Maybe, I guess, right? I mean, I can't hear that at all. Look at me smiling. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Ask Larry if he hears Larry. That's what he needs to hear, you know. But okay, so let's see. All right. Well, here we go again. Facebook. All right, so the point is, you can have a sound that some can hear and some cannot. There are sounds that are so high, I mean, we got to that threshold. I think at the house it was 18,000 that Austin still heard at 18. But in here we're not quite getting it picked up. But the older that you get, you know, you knock some of the hairs off your ears. They break off, they do. And if you've shotguns and without ear protection, which isn't smart, you can do things to your hearing. But here's the thing. When we talk about spiritual hearing, Mark chapter 4, verse number 9, and Jesus said it this way. He said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. I think it's high time that we get our ears attuned to the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, first, you've got to put some Word into you, okay? That is essential because what I've seen with people that don't get into the Word of God, they'll be praying and they think they hear something, and it's not God because it doesn't line up with the Word. You know, I've had people tell me, I had a guy one time, well, the Lord told me that I should... you know, believe for this woman to be my wife. Guess what? She was already married. So she's a nice lady, pretty lady. She loves her husband. She loves the Lord. And you're attracted to her? So you think God told you that you should believe for her to be your wife? Chapter and verse, please. No, the Lord's against that. You know, so, I mean, people will hear things. Well, the Lord told me to do this. I remember in Bible school, a guy said the Lord told him to go and down and witness at Mardi Gras. He went down there. He got beat up. It was not a good, pleasant scene. He came back. You remember when he came back from spring break? And he had black eye. He was beat up. And some other worse things happened to him down there. It was horrible. He didn't hear, well, you know, the Lord told me to go. No, he didn't tell you. You're not spiritually ready to go down into all that sin and all that, you know, devilish stuff going on down there. You know, I've had folks tell me, well, the Lord's telling me to go to Haiti. You better be really prayed up you're going to Haiti. When we went down to Guatemala and I preached down there, I'll never forget all of the witchcraft that was going on down there. But we went in and God did miracles, man. It was powerful. It was neat. It was wonderful. But they came out in force against us with their curses and all that kind of stuff. But if you're not developed or mature enough in the Word, that could frighten you off. And it's one thing to go to some of these countries and do some mission work, which is great. It's another thing to go and be in the middle of it where, you know, you're the one ministering the Word. You better hear from God. You better hear the voice of the Lord. Regarding this healing, this woman got healed. Jesus spoke to the fever. The fever heard him. Jesus spoke to a lot of things. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and God said, in the Hebrew it reads, light be. What responded to the word of God? Light. The firmament. The land. He created it. He spoke it. You know, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 speaks of that God calls those things that be not what? Be not manifested as though they were manifested. He called Abram, Abraham. Abram meant high, lofty father. Abraham meant father of many or father of a multitude. He called him that before he and Sarah ever had a child. And by the way, Sarah was old and barren. But the Lord called it that way. So here's the thing. Here's the thing about hearing. You need to hear from the Lord. How do you hear from the Lord? I said, you have to put the word in first. The word needs to be put in. You say, well, can't the Lord talk to me without me ever reading the Bible? Well, yeah, sure he can. But he also wants you to grow in the word, grow up in the things of God, so that when he communicates with you, you'll know that it's him. He does not speak against his own word. He never, never will tell you something that'll be contradictory to this word. Okay? So this is our fail-safe. What would Jesus do? You wouldn't know what Jesus would do if you don't read the word. What would he do? Here's what he would do. He'd lay hands on. He'd cast the devil out. He'd take authority. In my name, you go and do these things. You know, I mean, the church needs to mobilize. The church needs to be much, much more active regarding taking the word, ministering it, speaking it. We need to get back to the book of Acts, active Christians terrorizing Satan. That's where we need to be. The Bible, book of Acts, modern day book of Acts believers. It's not about, you know, all the stuff. I mean, it's nice having equipment and sound and all this pleasant place to sit. But we could go sit outside under the stars and have the word of God still work. Amen? Absolutely. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I've seen the Lord do it. Stand to your feet. Come on. Let's believe God tonight. Let's believe God tonight. So this, sometimes people don't hear the things that the Lord is saying to them. And you say, well, how in the world could I ever hear something? Well, again, get into the Word. Get into the Scriptures. Get into what the Bible has to say. And read these accounts. Study them. Listen. Get into the different accounts of where Christ laid hands on folks. And that's what this series is going about doing. Then you go into the epistles. And, you know, remember, grace gave us everything that we have need of. Grace was God's part. For by grace are ye saved, how? Through faith, and that not of you, it's a gift from God. So grace provided healing, deliverance, of course, salvation, peace of mind. Grace provided all of this stuff for us, but the way we receive it is by faith. So you need to hear the Word. You need to read the Word. You need to get into the Word. You need to study it. You need to, on a daily basis, take the Word in, study it, read it, meditate it. Pray it, witness it, over and over, mutter it, think on it, have it going in your ears, my goodness sakes. Just not too loud or you'll damage your hearing. Yeah. That's why as you get old, well, anyway. But, you know, I mean, I've laid hands on people. I laid hands on a deaf and dumb boy. He was totally deaf, totally couldn't speak, and he got totally healed in front of about 1,500 people. They all saw it. Power got hit, and the mother was just bawling and weeping. Why? Power God was there in operation. And folks that come over and say, that doesn't happen anymore. You know, those that say they don't believe in miracles, they will once they need one. The Word is powerful. Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads and go before the Lord tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you do hear us. Your ear hears us when we pray, hears our cries. You said that, Lord God, in the book of Psalms. You said that your ears are open to our prayers. And I thank you for that. Said that your eyes run to and fro throughout the earth. You're looking for those that will grab a hold of your word and walk it and live it by faith. Thank you for that. So, Father, we will go into the Word and look at these accounts where Christ healed and see that he's still doing it today. He's still doing it. Lord, you healed somebody last week here, right here in this church. A week ago Wednesday, we had a healing. A week before that, we had a healing. On a Sunday, we had healings. God is doing good things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, and it's real. So, Lord, I thank you that you're not a respecter of persons, but you do honor faith. So we give you the glory tonight, thanksgiving and the praise. Thank you that the people's faith is built this night. As they get back into the Word and look and go reread these accounts again. Thank you, sir. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, can I hear an amen?